From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the show, Nebraska Family Alliance's weekly radio program here on 94.5 FM, 1420 AM, The Answer. We hope everyone had a very blessed Thanksgiving and enjoyed their holiday weekend, especially with all of the craziness and divisiveness happening in our country. It's nice to be able to take a step back and spend time with friends and family, reflecting on all that we have to be thankful for, especially here in the United States and the great state of Nebraska. I have a special guest join me on the show today to talk about something that caught not only my eye, but the eye of the entire country when it made national news last week. This is something that really highlights why policy matters, and it's important for people to be engaged, especially at the local level, because at the local level in Delaware, a new policy would allow students in public schools as young as kindergartners pick their race and their gender. Gender identity issues and debates have been taking place in most states and school districts across the country, but now they have gone a step further to add race as something that students can choose. And they can do all of this without parents' consent or even knowledge. Keep in mind, in most schools, you need written permission from your parent if the student wants to take an aspirin pill. But now in Delaware, they are proposing that students be allowed to choose their race and gender without their parents' knowledge. And what's especially troubling about this policy is that it's the school who determines whether or not they think that the parent or parents will be supportive of whatever the student chooses. And therefore, that determines whether or not the parent gets to know what their child has chosen, and essentially, the state public schools get to decide whether parents are good parents or not. And so, this whole policy is basically based on keeping secrets from parents. And if you are surprised or alarmed by this, I can assure you, you are not alone. Joining me now to talk about this is Nicole Tice, founder and president of the Delaware Family Policy Council. Nicole, it's great to have you on the show, but I wish it was under more reasonable circumstances.
Nate, thank you very much for asking me to come on. I'm really excited to be able to share with your listeners exactly what's going on and how what's happening in Delaware, really how it affects all the other states. So, yeah, we've definitely got a situation here, that's for sure. And we want to sound the alarm for all the parents across the country.
And that's my first question. What is going on with this new regulation that would allow any student in a public school to pick their gender, which has sort of been an issue across the country, but now they're also including race? What is this about?
Well, and again, we encourage everyone to be paying attention to what's going on with their Department of Education, because a mandate was given by our governor to the department, to specifically to the Secretary of Education, to come up with more anti-discrimination policy to protect transgender students. That's how it was started. And in an effort to do that, a drafting committee was formed. And on that drafting committee were several activists, but they decided to use a template from one of the groups here, the activist groups. And then they had what they called community conversations. They only had four of them across the state. They were not very well advertised. Many parents, even school board members, were unaware of these meetings. And truly, they just didn't have an understanding of what the content of the meeting was, if they did happen to hear about it, but wasn't well advertised. So it really took people by surprise. And so what we have is a 7-page regulation that really instructs and demands the school board members to come up with their implement their own policy, but the policy has to follow this regulation. So there isn't any room there to for school boards really to protect the dignity and privacy and safety of all their students. And really, quite simply, the regulation says a student can self-identify their gender and their race. And the first thing people ask is, well, okay, but what age is this? And there is no age. We're talking kindergarten all the way through. It doesn't matter the student's age. The ideology and worldview of the people who are supporting this believe that students need to be their authentic selves, and this is how they do best, and this is what kind of environment they want for our education. But you see, we have just so much confusion in all of that messaging where, you know, they're allowing this concept of gender to be separate from biological fact and reality. And really, we've just already seen so much confusion as a result of this. So we know that we're going to see more. It's not going to do what they're saying it's intended to do.
And so let me know if I'm missing something here, but my understanding is if this proposed regulation takes effect, a white kindergartner male could choose to self-identify as an African-American female.
According to the language, you're absolutely correct. And here's what's interesting. If the school perceives the parents to be unsupportive or a non-ally of that student in their new identity, then the school can make a determination that if they perceive that the student is not safe in that environment, or they make a call on it, then the student can assume the new identity, and the parents don't need to give permission, nor do they need to give consent. So it just opens up a really bad situation where, you know, someone in the school is deciding if you as a parent are supportive enough or not. And if they deem that you are not supportive, according to their definition, then they can just bypass you. So it really sets a dangerous precedent and really encourages an environment where children are encouraged to keep secrets from their parents. So we're saying, please, you know, our argument is not to make policy or regulation based on, you know, a handful of really horrible parents that may respond poorly, but to legislate, to govern, and make policy based on the good of, you know, the overall good, which are 99% of the parents who would very much want to be involved in that decision, and would want to handle it as absolutely as best as they can. So does that make sense?
Well, it seems like you just outlined a very reasonable approach, but it sounds like the Department of Education in Delaware doesn't have an interest in that approach. What's been the reaction of parents to this new regulation?
Such a good question. They have been outraged. I think they're thinking, you know, what in the world? This is not what we send our students to school for. This is not what our tax money is paying for. You know, this is insane. That has been the reaction. So we're encouraging parents to,
and rightfully
by all
so.
Means, yes, and rightfully so. So we are encouraging parents to that they must be heard. It is not enough to be outraged, you know, and, you know, look for alternatives. Yes, you know, we recommend that too. But parents need to be engaged and be heard on this. This sets such a dangerous precedent across the country. And you know what? We didn't even mention what this does on sports teams. It's also in the regulation where in contact sports, competitive sports, you know, students can play the sport that they identify with according to their gender. So if they identify as a male, or if a male identifies as a female, he can play female sports. He can be eligible for female scholarships. And so there's a complete avoidance of the biological differences between boys and girls. So we think that this sets back the accomplishments that women have made in competitive sports. It sets it way back. I mean, there's no way that this is going to preserve dignity, respect, and safety for our athletes. So that's another problem. And then if I could just add one more problem that we see with the language in this regulation, Nate, and this is what parents need to be really careful about, because we've been hearing from Christian school parents and homeschooling community, you know, wondering, you know, okay, this doesn't affect us, but it does, because whenever the government can frame parents and put them in this light where if they are unsupportive of the government's definition of what gender is, then parents are deemed unsupportive or discriminatory. I mean, that's really what this is all about. It's an anti-discrimination policy. So if a parent's view on human sexuality and gender in this case is inconsistent with what the government thinks it could be, should be, and the government therefore looks at those parents as being discriminatory, then it's not a far stretch for the government to say, and look at those parents and deem them to be not healthy or the best for those children. So not a stretch at all. Does that make sense?
This is all just incredibly alarming, and it seems to be a substantial infringement on the rights of parents and just an extreme overreach by government. Are you aware of any other school system that has proposed allowing students to pick their race and gender without parents' knowledge?
I am not. I think the race thing is a new one, definitely. And to that we say, my goodness, that is not the government's role to be having conversations about, you know, race and cultural, you know, backgrounds and things in identity with these students. This, you're absolutely right. This is overreach like we've never seen it. I know that there are a couple states out there that have policies close to this. But we're encouraging parents to definitely push back. And along those lines of what I was just talking about, you know, when parents are painted in this framework of being discriminatory, if they disagree with this, this opens the door for kindergartners, you know, students as early as that 4 and 5 year old stage to be taught a very different view about gender. And parents don't need to know anything about that. So I would say that's also something parents should be very, very concerned about.
Well, I'm just sitting here shaking my head as you go through all the details of what this rule change would do. And so you are rallying opposition to this and encouraging parents in Delaware to speak out and make their voice heard. Are educators or people on the Board of Education, are they listening? Are they getting this reaction from parents that this is not what they signed up for?
Well, I know that we're doing our best effort to inform parents and to absolutely encourage them to act and to be heard. And we've made it very, very simple on our website, DelawareFamilies.org. I would encourage your listeners to go check out our website, because they really, it's good to get an understanding of how this plays out and how did it come about. And to look at some of the articles and the things that we've attached to our blog. I think the blog could be a great resource for any parent in any state, just to get an idea of how this is happening and how possibly you can get ahead of it, so that you don't have to deal with it in your state. There are better ways. There are better ways to create an environment where all students are treated with respect, where all students are valued, and treated with dignity, than to move forward on a policy like this. So we would encourage parents to check it out at DelawareFamilies.org, and you know, and just to stay up on it, and to look at our Facebook, Delaware Family Policy Council, where we're putting the latest articles. And of course, we're very grateful for Fox News for covering it. And that clip has gotten, you know, quite a few views and comments, and people should weigh in for sure. And, you know, we welcome people from your state to weigh in and sign our petition and show support and stand with the parents of Delaware. That would be great.
Well, as you've laid out, this has gone, you know, nationwide and grabbing national news. As you mentioned, you were even on Fox News to talk about this. And I think you're right. This sets a very dangerous precedent, not just for Delaware, but for the entire country. So I certainly appreciate the work that, you are doing, Nicole, and why so many people are rallying around you. But are you getting any sort of pushback? I mean, who is advocating for this rule change?
Well, there are people that are working in the Department of Education and people that are on the drafting committee that feel like this is their best approach to protect transgender students. And so, of course, we don't agree with that. We think that there are definitely other ideas and things that should be explored to protect children as they are working through some of those challenges. You know, absolutely, we can all agree on that. But affecting parental rights and creating this kind of culture in the educational environment is definitely not the direction that parents are comfortable with, and they definitely need to speak out. I would say that there is a group that's pushing it really hard called Equality Delaware. You probably have a similar group in your state. They're very much behind the agenda, and they've issued a national alert and asking people from all over the country to weigh in. So again, I just invite your listeners to be part of the process and to stand with these Delaware parents as they try to push back on this, and go to our website, DelawareFamilies.org, and sign the petition that we will deliver to the Department of Education with their comments.
Nicole, you've really articulated the problem and weight of this rule change so well. And I know that, you know, people disagree on this issue, but I also know that we believe that everyone should be treated with dignity and respect. But can't we do that by at the same time basing our policies on, you know, the rights of parents and maybe things that are based in reality?
Absolutely. That should be our goal. Parental involvement in a child's development and the formation of their identity is absolutely critical. So we do encourage parents to strengthen that role in their child's life however they can. I just want to encourage parents in doing whatever they can to carve out space for their family and loving each other, accepting one another, and making sure that family and home life is a place to feel valued and respected, and start there. And again, I offer that just to encourage parents, because there's so much going on in life and in our culture that really fight against that. But it's a parent's responsibility. It's not the government. It's not the school system. And, we encourage, well, we want parents to be encouraged in their role, and, definitely not to give up any ground. They are the primary educators in the lives of their children, not the government. And this is definitely the most government overreach that we've experienced, and we need to push back on it now.
So what's next? Is there an upcoming vote in Delaware? Is this something that people still have more time to voice their opposition to and speak out on? What can we expect to see happen with this?
Oh, thank you for asking that. The deadline to get comments in is December 4th. And that's a little challenging because, it's right smack in the holiday, beginning of the holiday season. So we're just encouraging people to engage now. We've made it super easy at DelawareFamilies.org. But December 4th is when it's a cutoff for all the comments. And then the Department of Education is supposed to weigh all of those comments. And then they make a decision if they're going to pull back on it, if they're going to make adjustments, or what they're going to do. But ultimately, it's the governor who decides what's going to happen. This was initiated based on his mandate. It was not initiated because of any piece of legislation. We do think if the governor pulls back on it, we will see more legislation in January at the opening of session. So we're going to be watching that, of course. But it's all hands on deck. We just have to be watching it closely what they do. But if they don't make changes, or if they just make a couple, mild adjustments, we just have to keep watching. But I know that in the original mandate the governor put out, he wanted this to be implemented by January 1st, 2018.
Nicole, thank you so much for taking the lead on this issue and walking us through it. My final question: politics in America, we're just so divided, even on things like now, apparently, whether you can choose your own race or not. How are you encouraging people not only in Delaware but across the country? How should they engage and talk about this issue in a loving and respectful way that can win hearts and minds?
Well, I have found this issue to be a wonderful unifier, because parents, no matter what your background is, you know, the parents, most parents that you talk to, they want what's best for their children. And they realize that it's up to them. It's their role. And they do not want to give up that authority and that right in their children's lives. So we're all coming together based on that. And like I said, it's been a great unifier. We want to take care of our kids, and we, you know, we see it as our responsibility to do so. And it's a right that needs to be, it's a precious right that needs to be protected. And so we would and just encourage people to come around the basic things that we can agree on. You know, we do agree that children should be treated with respect and dignity. They need to be valued. Okay, well, how do we create that culture in our school systems, right? I mean, that doesn't come from a regulation or a policy. It comes from the heart of the leader and the teachers who are there, the influencers. So how can we influence our education system? You know, how do we roll up our sleeves and get in there and have a different kind of culture in our education system? So when you think about it that way, we all have a lot of work to do right where we are.
Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the show and for your leadership and truly the great work that you are doing for families in Delaware.
Thank you for the opportunity, Nate. Thank you so much for cheering us on.
Well, it's great to be able to speak with allies from across the country. And that's one of the great things about Nebraska Family Alliance is that we are part of a national movement to protect foundational principles and advance family freedom and life. And one of the benefits of having so many allies and affiliates across the country is you get to see what sort of trends and policy decisions are being made in various states across the country. But one thing about this whole new proposed regulation in Delaware is that all started with a law that redefined sexual orientation and gender identity. And what we're seeing now is the natural progression of that. And what happened in Delaware has been proposed in our very own Nebraska legislature. And what this does is it essentially redefines gender for everyone. And again, when that happens, the natural progression is that they have to teach these new definitions and understandings on these issues and terms, which is now that your biological sex is completely separate from gender. And so this is something that students have to have the ability to choose. And if you can choose your gender, then what's to prevent you from choosing your race? And so this is now literally trying to be implemented in public schools. And while people might disagree on the issue of gender identity, no one disagrees that everyone should be treated with the utmost dignity and respect, and all students should be safe and free from harassment, intimidation while they're at school. But when you start removing parents completely from the equation on the most difficult and sensitive issues, that's a problem. And I also hope that most everyone would agree that that's not a good thing. When the government reaches that far into the life of a child and completely removes the parent in the process. And it's issues like this that highlight the need for everyone to be paying attention to the policies that are being proposed and sometimes passed, especially at the state and local level. And that's why Nebraska Family Alliance exists, to be a watchdog and alert people to things that are happening down at the state capitol, ensure that people are informed on the issues and know how to contact their local representatives and make sure that their voice is heard. Because policies endorse and enforce a belief system, and what happens at the state capitol doesn't stay there. So be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to learn more about how you can partner with NFA to help support families and family values in Nebraska. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.